Good to be back. Good morning. I am glad to be back. Yes, because I learned that chasing a three-year-old around Branson for 4 days is not fun. I had to come home in order to rest. Yes, you take a vacation to rest? No, I had to come home in order to rest. So I am very, very glad to be back. I'm glad to be back with you all. I want to thank all our visitors for being here. We have several that are here today visiting with us. We got a good crowd this morning. My brother and sister-in-law back there in the back, they're with us today. And they drove all the way from the big city of Muldrow to get here. And so we're glad that they are with us as well. And John, I want you to know that if you have problems spotting my brother, just look for the illuminated head back there. And I have an illuminated head up front. So John, we're illuminated in both ends. There you go. That's right. My favorite holiday is coming up. What day is that?
Thanksgiving.
And I want you to know that Thanksgiving is actually a very much a religious holiday. It is really to thank God for giving us a bounty that we have received during the year. And that's what it's all about. And I could go into all that history and stuff, but I'm not going to go into all that today. But one of the things is that I love about it is I get to eat. I get to recline in my recliner, and I get to watch football. And that's basically the day. That's how that works. And I want you to know that Rindle gave me a word for the day, and the word for the day is window. Window, yeah. Says, I love the Razorbacks, but they can't window. I wasn't quite sure how to take that, but that's okay. Today I want to talk about when God speaks. Now God speaks to us through the Word, the Scripture. We all know that. God also speaks to us through the Spirit. Because the Spirit guides us in what we do, what we say. The Spirit helps convict us of things that we do that are wrong. The Spirit helps direct us into things that we do that are right. The Spirit helps us. But I want to talk specifically about God this morning. And in 2 John chapter 9, I want you to see this, or verse 9. It says, anyone who goes too far and does not remain in the teaching of Christ does not have God. What does it say? If you don't remain in God's Word, you don't have God. Now, I encourage you to come back and be with us next week, because I'm going to do a little something a little different next week. I'm going to be talking about rhinos and dinos. Y'all have heard of those? In the political sense, Republican in name only, Democrat in name only. You've heard of that? Well, I'm going to talk about sinos, Christians in name only, next week. And one of the things that makes a Christian different than a person who is just a Christian in name only is that they love studying the Word of God. Absolutely love it. And I want you to know that that's one of the things that I absolutely love to do, is to open up that Bible and study the Word of God. And I am extremely fortunate in that I have a job that allows me to do that. And there are a lot of times that Nikki comes in my office wanting to talk, and I'm going, Nikki, go over there because I want to read this. You know, and she goes, I don't mean to disturb you, but. realize that's an opportunity. And I love that opportunity. But notice what it says there in 2 John verse 9. It says, if you do not remain in the teaching of Christ, you do not have God. If you do not follow His will, if you do not obey His commandments, you do not have God. What did Jesus say to His apostles? He said, if you love me, you will do what? Keep my commandments. You will obey my commandments. You will do what I tell you to do. If you love me, then you are with me, then you obey my commandments. And so when I tell you to do something, that's it. And I told you before about this bumper sticker that I saw one time that said, the Bible says it, therefore I believe it, therefore that settles it. If God tells me to do something, then I am to do it. If God tells me not to do something, then I am not to do that. And realize that what God is telling you is what is best for you. Remember growing up? Your parents would tell you things, don't do those things because it's best for you not to do those things. When your parents told you, said, don't stick the fork in the light socket, that was for your best benefit. Okay? They weren't trying to be mean to you. They're trying to tell you how it works. They're trying to help you along the way. Do these things because it is better for you to do them. And somewhere along the way, your children, once they get up to about 25, 26, 27 years old, they kind of figure out that, well, maybe mom and dad weren't so stupid after all. That maybe they really did know what they were talking about. And they figure those things out. But if you don't have God's word, you cannot have God. The one who remains in the teaching, in other words, the one who remains in his commandments, the one who follows his teaching, has both God and Christ. In all ways, we've got both God and Christ. If we remain in His Word, if we remain in His teaching, if we follow His Word, if we follow His teaching, we will remain with the Father and with the Son. Now, 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17 tells us that all Scripture is inspired by God. There's nothing in your Bible that is not inspired by God. Just take it with that in mind. We have more proof today, right now, than we've had in the history of mankind that the Bible is indeed true and the Bible is indeed the true Word of God. We have more proof today. And every time that somebody goes out and digs something else up and we find something else, gives us more proof that that's the case. Y'all ever see Expedition Unknown? I love that show. You know why? Because he just proves stuff over and over and over again. He digs it up. Well, there it is. There's the coin. There's the word. There it is. And as you're proving things like that, as you see things like that, what does it do? It proves your faith. Over and over again, God proves himself to us. We spoke about this morning in our Bible class about how we don't see the wind. But we see the trees blow. We see the grass wave. We see the clouds move across the sky. We see what the wind does. But we don't see the wind. Folks, we don't physically see God, but we see Him moving in our lives every day. And the way to do that is open your eyes and you'll see it. God loves you so much, more than you can ever imagine. He loves you greater than you can comprehend. He is there for you. Open your eyes and see Him. He is there. We can guarantee that the Scripture is by God, so that the man or woman of God may be fully capable and equipped for every good work. Everything that we need to know is in the Bible. Now, that doesn't mean that everything is in the Bible. John even tells us that we cannot possibly write down everything that Jesus did. It would fill up every book that ever was. But, everything we need is right there. Every direction is there. God's Word is there for us. Now, I want to talk a little bit this morning about how God speaks to us, and not through the Scripture, not through the Holy Spirit, although He speaks to us through that. That's not the direction I want to go. What I want to go is how He speaks to us to guide us through our daily life. That's where I'm going. How God speaks to us to guide us through our daily life. 1 John tells us that if we walk in the light as He is in the light, then we have fellowship with God. Fellowship. He directs us. He guides us. He helps us through our daily life. And all we have to do is listen. Now, realize that God gives us direct commands. This is what you should do. And I've got Acts chapter 2, verse 38 up there because that is a direct command. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and then you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Folks, that is a direct command. That is not a if you want to. You ever have your parents say, if you want to, you can go clean up your room? My mother said that to me one time, and I said, well, Mom, what if I don't want to? And she said, go clean up your room. It went from if you want to direct command. This is not an if you want to. This is a direct command. But I also want you to realize that there are a lot of direct commands in the Bible that tell us we need to do something. For example, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Is that a if you want to? No. That's a go. That's a do. Don't hesitate. Why not? Because it's a direct command. I heard a preacher one time. This was very interesting to me. I was listening to the radio and I was listening to this preacher preach, and he was talking. And he was an individual that did not believe that you had to be baptized in order to get to heaven. Now, I believe that very strongly, for several reasons and several verses, especially John chapter 3, verse 5, which says, unless you are born of the water and of the Spirit, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Period. Now, this preacher, however, even though he did not believe that baptism was for salvation, he made a very incredible straight, accurate statement. He said, baptism is a command. He said, do it. He said, there is so much in the New Testament, and I've told you before, I can print you off 8 pages worth of verses dealing with baptism. He said, there is so much in the New Testament dealing with baptism. He said, this is not a if you want to, this is a direct command. Do it. Be baptized for the remission of sin. And he said, and then you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He quoted Acts 2:38 without saying Acts 2:38. Folks, God gives us direct commands. He also gives us things not to do. And these are things that he gives us to tell us, don't do these things, because if you do these things, it will harm you. So don't do them. All right? I've got a verse in Exodus chapter 20, verse 4. These are the 10 commandments. It says, you shall not. And I chose this one very specifically because this one says, you shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness, what is in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the river under the earth or in the water under the earth. He's telling us not to have idols. And I chose that very specifically because my definition of an idol is anything that you put before God. Now think about that. You don't have to make a graven image to have an idol. If you put your job before God, then you have an idol. If you put your money or your wealth before God, then you have an idol. If you put your children or your family before God, you have an idol. Nothing can be before God. And so when God says there in Exodus chapter 20, do not do this, then don't do it. Don't worship something other than God. He is worthy of our praise. He is worthy of our worship. He is worthy of us coming together to sing songs of praise and to worship Him. That's God. You shall not. So God not only tells us what to do, He also tells us what not to do. And notice this as well, God sets the example. One great example that I've got up there is in Acts chapter 20, verse 7. Do you know why we partake of the Lord's Supper every week, first day of the week? Because it was an example set by the new Christians. They came together on the first day of the week in order to break bread, to remember the sacrifice that Jesus gave for us. That's why we do it. And folks, when people do it once a quarter or once a month or twice a year, that's wrong. Why? Because they're not following the example that is set by the first Christians that walked this earth. To remember. Folks, we need to remember. We need to remember what God did for us through His Son, Jesus Christ. Because that's the only reason
then we have hope of eternal salvation. It is God through Christ paying our debt so we could be with Him. It's that simple. So God tells us what not to do. He tells us what to do. And He sets the example for us to follow. And the greatest example is Jesus Christ. Because if we are Christians, then we should be Christ-like. If we are His disciples, which we should be, then we should follow His teachings. The example has been set. The do's have been laid out. The don'ts have been laid out. And God also tells us about the importance of these things. Now, this one's really important. Some of you may not think it is, but it is. We need to come together. You need to be here. And I'm speaking to the choir right here, and I know that because you're here with me today. But there are people out there watching on TV that aren't here that should be, that could be. Folks, you need to be here. Why? God says right there in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, He says, don't abandon the meeting of yourselves together, as is the habit of some people, not to come, but encouraging one another. That's one of the reasons we come together. And we do it all the more as we see that day drawing near. What day? Christ's return. Do you see Christ's return drawing near? Yeah, turn on that television any length of time at all, watch a little news, you're going to see, yeah, it's getting closer. And I'm not going to say it's going to be today, although if it was, I would just be tickled to death. I'm not going to say it's going to be tomorrow. I don't know when it's going to be. It may be 1,000 years from now, maybe 10,000 years from now. I don't know. But I do know this. Every day we get one day closer. And as we see that glorious day approaching, we need to come together all the more. Encouraging each other, helping each other along the way, picking each other up when we fall down. I've told you before that the difference between an old person and a young person is an old person or a young person falls down, they jump up real fast and make sure nobody saw them fall. An old person falls down and they lay there and they look around to see if somebody will come over and help them up. That's encouraging one another is what I'm getting at. Helping one another. Folks, we need all the help and encouragement we can get because you're going to get beat down out there in this world. And so if you come together, you get the opportunity to be built up. Do it all the more. It's important for us to do it. It's important for us to come together. As the example I gave earlier, it's important not to stick the fork in the light socket. Do what you know to be right. Don't do what you know to be wrong. And follow God. It's important. All the more as we see that day drawing near. John 14:6 tells us, Jesus is the way. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus. Jesus is the way. One of the best things about the Scripture, one of the best things about the Bible, one of the best things about the Holy Spirit is He shows us the way. The way. Jesus is the way. How do we find Jesus? Open up your Bible and start looking. Because I can guarantee you, if you seek, you will find. If you knock, that door will be open. Jesus is that way. Allow Him to be such. Follow Him. The Bible shows us the way. Like I said, it doesn't tell us everything, but it tells us everything we need to know. This is what we do. This is the direction we go. The example is set. The do's and don'ts are set. Show us the way, and we will follow. The Bible does this for us. Now, sometimes God lets us make our own decisions. Y'all realize that? Sometimes God lets us make that decision that we will do this or we will do that. And as long as you've got God in front of you, you're going to make the right decision. That's why it's always important to pray before you make a big decision in your life. Because God will show you. God will guide you. God will help you in the decision. And it may be a decision that is not against God's will. It may be a decision that either way you could serve God. But our elders know especially that the decisions that they make on how this congregation will go and what we will do, these are decisions for God. We can make these decisions. God gives it to us. That is why, and a lot of people don't realize this, but that is why we in the Churches of Christ are not a denomination. We don't have a church in New York telling us what we need to do in Polo. We have our own leadership, our own eldership. We make our decisions to serve God in the best way that we can, in the best way that we know how. And God approves of those decisions as long as those decisions are made with service to Him in mind. Realize that. In your life, in your family life, in the things that you do at your job and different places like that, realize the decisions you make, as long as God is first in those decisions will be blessed. But if God is not in that decision, those decisions could lead to destruction. Make sure God is in every decision you make during the day. Colossians chapter 2, verse 19 tells us this. And not holding firmly to the head, from whom the entire body, being supplied and held together by the joints and ligaments, grows with a growth which is from God. Following God's word following God's will grow you in faith. Grow in faith. The only way to grow is to put God's words in action. And you will grow. Today, I wanted you to see how God works in us, how God directs us, how God guides us. He guides us through His Word. He guides us through the Spirit. He guides us each and every day. If we put God first in our lives, if we follow His Word, if we follow His teachings, then we will indeed grow in faith. We will grow through His Word. We will grow through action. We will become more and more and more like Jesus Christ, whom we desire to be like in all ways. Seek God. Seek God. Realize He's there trying to help us, trying to guide us, trying to bring us home to be with Him in eternity. What a glorious day that will be. And the thanksgiving that I brought out just a little while ago will not compare to the thankfulness we will have to God when we see Him face to face. If you have a need this morning, a need for baptism, or a need for our prayers, we want to give you the opportunity to come while together we stand and sing.